Audio Gravity, 29th of September 2009. Good morning. Hope you're doing well wherever you are. I've got such a massive backlog of Audio Gravity, it's unbelievable. I've been putting the notes together in Evernote and finally rattling through them all. First link today, data center knowledge. I've got this great post up from yesterday inside Microsoft's Dublin mega data center. As if we needed any more burning, eco, unfriendly places to hold data centers. I guess we have to have them because of the cloud, though, these days. New facilities opening up for Microsoft will power much of Microsoft's global cloud computing operation. Excuse me, while using far less energy and water than typically consumed in other data centers. This is getting more positive. The Dublin center operates at a power usage effectiveness of 1.25 compared to averages of 2.0 for the industry and 1.6 for other Microsoft facilities. What's nice about this, actually, from the design and the graphics that I've looked at, is that they've got this sort of system called free cooling, which allows outside air to cool the data center, which is nice because I know having servers in a rack, not in a rack, but in a rack, in Docklands, Isle of Dogs. The biggest thing that hits you when you walk in there, apart from the noise, obviously, is that it's extremely hot. And what happens is if you've got all these server racks stacked on each other, and the heat obviously rises and it hits the underside of this server. And, you know, the heat's coming out of those 42U racks, which is pretty much like one whole tower thing that I think you can get. Can't remember now, what was it? 2U racks, so 48, was it 48 U's? I can't remember now. But you can get quite a few servers in there. You can imagine the massive amount of power output that's needed and the heat that was coming off these things. Hopefully this will create loads of jobs, though. It's interesting that they've picked Dublin as their data center location. I'm guessing that they've got quite a pipe in Dublin these days. Next link today is socialwok.com, socialwok.com. The missing social app for Google Apps. Now, this was awarded the TechCrunch 50 Demo Pit winner. And at first thought, I thought, okay, it's very similar to Google Wave. So I'm trying to work out why somebody would use or create something on top of Google Apps. Then I looked a little bit further, and it is a little bit more different than that, in that it grabs stuff in from YouTube, Scribe, SlideShare, file attachments, maps. Very similar in approach to Wave, but a little bit more rounded, a little bit more, how can I put this? A little bit more collaborative, in that it's not so experimental. I find Google Wave very experimental. Sometimes it's very, very slow as well. And not having Google Chrome on the Mac, that's a decent enough version, makes it really, really difficult for me to use it of any speed, to be honest. But check this out, it's pretty cool. They're running it on top of Google Apps, and it's very similar to Yammer, various other things like that. You can bring in your feed, your social network feed, into Google Apps, and you can share links and all that sort of stuff. It'd be very useful for a small little team who's just getting used to doing this social media stuff in terms of, you know, networking and also the business side of it. Go check it out. Next link today is over on sixrounds.com. Going back to Google Wave that I was just quickly talking about, the first video conferencing tool that I saw as a plugin or as an add-on to Google Wave was Sixrounds. And what I like about Sixrounds is they're very, very clever in the way they've gone about their embed. Their embed, you can do a variety of stuff on it. You can pull in YouTube videos, you can discuss stuff around it, you can do all the funny, stupid effects that you'd get. But I really like the fact that they did a power move, noticing that Google Wave is going to launch, and then built a application, or a wavelet, I think they're called, for Google Wave, so that they were the first one to do video hosting. And I bet they've had a hell of a lot of people indirectly from that. I don't know who's going to win this sort of video conferencing race. I think there needs to be an open standard for video conversation. You know, you've got Skype that requires an app to be installed. You've got TopBox. You've got, you know, a whole bunch of different video sites, Tiny Chat, which I'm going to talk about next. Well, after the next link. There's a whole bunch of them. And I don't know who's going to win the race, but I think if somebody makes a scalable cloud subscription-based chat system that can be either private or public, I think they'll make quite a lot of money off it. I think there'll be a good subscriber model for that. And I think if there was four or five companies doing the same thing on different clouds and they all work together, you wouldn't need to worry about the brand specifically. I mean, really, when you're doing a video call, like you do a phone call, you don't worry about how it's going to get there. You just assume it's going to be connected. And I think that's the way that video conversations will go. Next link today is over on ringvemedia.com. This is quite an old site. This is from February 2008. But what I really like about it is its simplicity. Every so often, I have to look around the web at different designs and creative sites. And I think to myself, yeah, that really stands out because of this, this, and this. What I like about this is it's a the background of it is flash, so it dynamically scales the background to suit. And then they've got like this very simple little side group of text. And it's a little bit about China. The website is a result of a study trip to Shanghai and Beijing made by 70 Norwegian students in February 2008. But the presentation and the way that they go through it, they've got these little sections for travel in Beijing, what to pack, 10 tips. Just really like it. Really, really lightweight. On the traveling section, 10 tips. You've got like this different background on every page that you go on. You know, transportation tickets, water, dresses, you know, all sorts of stuff that would be useful for people traveling. Next link today is from Mashable, and it's regarding TinyChat that I was on about a couple of links. TinyChat launches dead simple video chat that you can have a direct conversation with somebody. It's TinyChat P2P, so you don't have to worry about any plugins or any software or anything like that. You literally pick a URL and you send that to somebody and you have a conversation one-on-one with somebody and you can chat straight away. I really like that. It's a nice little feature. I think TinyChat have had a real move on TopBox. And I think they need to start looking at the ability of scheduling and updating and notifying, especially when a chat is on and you don't know it's on. I think there needs to be some way of being able to update people and let them know that that's happening. Finally, last link today. This is I threw this in here because I needed some CSS geekery on the end of it, since I'm doing quite a lot of it. Full cross-browser CSS, no CSS hacks, no images, no JavaScript, two column, three column, four column, five column. And it works on the iPhone and the iPod Touch. It's the reason why I mentioned it. It also works on various browsers for the Mac and Windows. The layout is completely free to use. No CSS hacks. Like I said, no images, no JavaScript. Valid XHTML strict markup. Very, very cool. A base CSS template. If you're getting into CSS or you want to learn it, it's a nice little template to learn from. That's it for today. Speak to you tomorrow. Cheers. Bye.